My job is the best job in the world. I mean, honestly, every single day I get to work with incredibly talented people who have some vision for building something that doesn't exist right now. And the most exciting thing for me is actually meeting people who are embarking on that journey and starting to see those early signs of success.
Welcome to NZX's Opening Bell podcast. Now today we're tapping into the entrepreneurship and leadership that is going to drive success of New Zealand's tech sector. And we are privileged to have Mary-Ann Johnson from the Ministry of Awesome. Hello, welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me today.
Now, for those who might not know, I'm sure there's not many, but anyone who doesn't, what is the Ministry of Awesome?
So Ministry of Awesome is a startup hub. We work nationally. We run a startup incubator, which is physical in place at our HQ in Christchurch, and also hybrid nationally across the country. And we run three accelerator programs a year. We're one of the Callahan startup services providers, and we've been doing this work building high-growth startups in New Zealand for the last 5 years.
Awesome. Now, look, how did this even start up? Where did it come from?
Well, we all know that we really do need to make this transition into a knowledge economy. And that knowledge economy is something that's going to allow us to build a more sustainable New Zealand for our future with higher value jobs. And I'm sure you've heard all of the various quotes and numbers around that. And in order to do that, we need to have high growth startups and high growth innovation. And at this stage in New Zealand, we are really underperforming when it comes to other parts of the world in terms of the number of high growth startups and innovators that we have. And so therefore, the impact that we're having from New Zealand. So at the moment, we have around 2,400 high-growth startups, and if we're going to be competitive and a true knowledge economy leading on the global stage, we need to have about 1 in 1,000, which means we should be hitting more like 5,000 high-growth startups. Okay. So we have a long way to go, but the impact of those high-growth startups and innovation is totally transformational for New Zealand's future.
It's awesome. So what are the trends? So staying on this, out of those, the numbers that you talked about, what are the trends that you're seeing?
I mean, the trends really mirror our global trends as well, because obviously you've got disruptive technology taking over everything from artificial intelligence, machine learning, automation, robotics. One of the key trends that we've seen in the last 2 or 3 years has been around climate tech and environmental tech, sustainable tech, which is really encouraging to see. Another trend that we're seeing is a lot of cybersecurity tech around that sector. And thirdly, another space that is really quite interesting is around, obviously, a place that we are beginning to really lead is around space tech. So from that perspective, from a sort of future transport perspective, we're seeing a lot of trends in those areas.
That is so fascinating. I didn't expect you to say space tech. I've got to be honest. Hey, so when we look at the trends globally, how does New Zealand compare? Are we disadvantaged or advantaged in any way?
Well, as a startup founder in New Zealand, it is so much easier to make those initial connections and to get started than it is in other countries. And you'll be able to ask for assistance and for feedback and for support and advice with people who are so far along in their journey compared to yourself, because Kiwis are very humble like that. And they really want to help and they really want to pay forward. Because the community itself is really small at the moment, 2,400 startups, we do rely on each other an awful lot for network, for introductions, and for that kind of feedback and guiding along the way. That is one of our superpowers. Where we're not doing so well is obviously because we are behind the eight ball in terms of the number of successful startups that we've had, the number of major exits that we've had in particular technologies. It also means that we therefore don't have a lot of experienced startup operators. So when you have a startup that has raised capital, maybe they've raised their Series A and they're going global and they really need to bring on board teams that know exactly how to navigate global markets and navigate some of the challenges that you have along that scaling journey, it's extremely difficult to find the right talent, especially here in New Zealand, because there are not a lot of those experienced startup operators around. Okay. So I think that's one of the major challenges, is really having that expertise thick on the ground that you might have in a place like Silicon Valley, or you might have in London or in Singapore, and in markets that are further along than we are. But that's just a matter of time.
Yeah, absolutely. So you talk about getting from that sort of 2,500 up to 5 potentially. How do people get? I imagine there's lots of people out there with ideas.
Yeah.
But how do you test that idea?
Well, the first thing that you need to do is to obviously test whether or not the problem is a problem that needs to be solved.
Okay.
Right. So if you think you've discovered a problem that needs to be solved, the first thing you need to do is go identify who has that problem and whether or not they really feel it needs to be solved. And that's the first thing. And then the second thing is that once you have discovered a problem that does need to be solved, then it's a case of really validating your solution against that target customer again. And so the easiest way of doing this is starting off with a paper-only prototype, for example. Let's just start with the example of, let's say you wanted to build this major application that used data science and machine learning and all sorts of, and you need a crew of, you know, developer experts, and it'll take you a year to 2 years to develop it. Don't do that. Why don't you first build a paper-only version saying that if I had solved this problem, it would work in the following way? And why don't you take that prototype and then look at the specific customers that you might be able to test that with and start there, and then develop the easiest possible, the minimum viable product of whatever that prototype is. So only one of those problems or one of those feature sets, the most important feature, develop that first and test it again, and then continue to grow from there. So it's really about using lean startup methodology, which is really all about that minimum viable product, identifying that problem, identifying the solution, building the minimal viable product, testing it, seeing if you have any takers, testing out what the pricing might be, what your business model might look like, and then iterating, constantly optimizing and building from there.
And is this something that you help people do?
Absolutely.
Great.
That is the heart of what we do.
So someone could come to you and say, look, I want to build an app that on a Tuesday tells me what the weather will be Wednesday, which would actually already exist. That's just weather forecasting. But I was trying to think, see, I'm not the ideas person. But then you would be able to take them on that journey. Because I think at times, and what I've heard from people is I think people think things just happen. You know, you kind of have an idea and then somebody just thinks it's cool and then next minute it's for sale and then and these things don't happen. It's a grind, isn't it? It's a graft.
It's an absolute grind. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, a really well-known startup meetup is called Startup Grind. It is a grind, and it is a step-by-step approach. And the smartest way to do it is using that methodology. And it's basically a scientific process, right? So you make a little experiment. You check the results of the experiment. Yes, no, get rid, bail on the one that didn't work, start another one. And you just continuously experiment and build and optimize every time you hit, you know, a little bit of positivity. And so that process is exactly what we do. And generally what we'll do is we'll meet with ventures and founders who are at that very, very early stage.
Yep.
So the very top of the pipeline. Essentially, we want to be speaking to you once you have done that initial validation and you might have a minimum viable product.
Okay.
So you can't have had an idea in the shower last week.
Yep.
You will have investigated it. You will have developed something, even if it is a no-code, you know, MVP.
Yep.
You'll have something that you've started off with. You have some validation and you have the beginnings of something that can be grown.
Cool.
Because if we catch you too early, honestly, you have so much work that you have to do before we kind of put the laser beam of all of our effort on you. So you need to be at that sort of minimum viable product, early validation piece before we can start to work with you and take you through those paces so that you're testing all along the way and moving continuously forward towards that goal. And the goal is for a high growth startup, because we're looking at high growth, meaning going global, somebody who's building something truly innovative for the world, solving a problem that really needs to be solved for a really large target addressable market.
Awesome.
Because that's what we're looking at. We really need you to be getting to the point where you are raising capital for your imminent huge growth. And so from our perspective, success means growth. So that means you've got revenue, you've got a growing full-time employee base, but even I guess the clearest marker is a first capital raise. So generally we get to about pre-seed, and then after pre-seed, you're often racing and going with advisory groups and whoever your investors are.
And so what would you say where do you see the most struggles with startups, or maybe struggle's not the right word, where would you see, if you had sort of advice, or the three areas that kind of people make mistakes in?
It is 100% around that validation piece.
Right.
The early validation piece is the piece that takes the longest, and that because it has to do with your idea, which is your baby, so many founders get so invested in it and they just cannot hear. They cannot hear that it doesn't work.
Because it's the greatest idea in the world.
It's the greatest idea in the world. Absolutely the greatest idea in the world. And so it's very, very hard to subtract yourself from that, take yourself out of it and say, actually, when I built this idea, it started off as X. And now making it successful means that it has to be nothing even remotely linked to how it began.
Yeah.
That's a very hard journey to take. And it happens again and again and again. It's that dreaded word pivot, right?
Yeah.
People hear the word pivot and they want to barf because it's so overused. But pivots are the best thing that could possibly happen to a startup in those early stages. Because what it means is that if you're pivoting, that means that you're moving to something that might work.
And you're learning.
Yeah. And you're learning along the way.
I guess it's that, look, I hear this a lot and it always winds me up a little bit, is the old, you know, Henry Ford, if I asked people what they wanted, they'd say faster horses. And I, you know, sometimes people misinterpret what validation really means.
Mm.
You know, they think it's coming up with the next big idea, like nobody asked for an iPhone, but the iPhone was solving a problem of people wanted a computer on the run.
Yeah.
What got you into this, Miriam? Because I kind of feel like it would be really quite a exciting, inspiring / exhausting process and space to be in.
Oh, my job is the best job in the world. I mean, honestly, every single day I get to work with incredibly talented people who have some vision for building something that doesn't exist right now. And the most exciting thing for me is actually meeting people who are embarking on that journey and starting to see those early signs of success.
Cool.
And it's almost like there's a few startups that probably deserve a bit of a mention, and they've been mentioned quite a lot, actually. Like Partly is one of the early success stories that came out of the Startup Hub in the early days. So Partly is such a great example of a pivot. Partly started as a store, an e-commerce platform called All Goods. And what they found was that every single day they were pushing and pushing and pushing. This really talented team were pushing against this wheel that would just barely squeak. You know, it's like just pushing and putting so much effort into getting that wheel to turn. And it would barely turn every single day. And then all of a sudden, they found a space that was actually really unique to them, where they had incredible value for a particular target customer, and that wheel started to turn on its own. And then it started to move even faster and faster and faster. And I know this sounds like, oh, it was really simple. It was not simple at all.
And it's never simple.
And of course, it takes incredible talent. It takes vision and it takes courage for everyone to double down on that wheel that's moving super, super fast. And lots of really good advice and an amazing, strong team. But when you start to see that level of traction, when you start to see that wheel move, it's just so exciting. And we get to see that again and again in our position. And we think about what impact that's going to have on not just that team, but also a growing employee base and on a city and on a region and on a country. And like, how could my job be better than that?
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I've always had a great deal of respect for entrepreneurs. I don't naturally have entrepreneurial mindset myself, but I just see, you know, and I think when you hear stories, you know, you hear the story of Zero or 42 Below, which is not tech, but, you know, a lot of the tech cup startups, you hear the story and you think about it and you realize that they weren't overnight. They didn't happen overnight. There was a lot of pain. There was a lot of, you know, sacrifice.
Yeah, that's right. There's definitely a lot of pain, a lot of sacrifice. I mean, you never get away. You never, ever get away from your work. I mean, that's the case for entrepreneurship just as much as it's the case for a high-growth startup founder. And that's something that I quite often, you know, I quite often think about, that being an entrepreneur, which is, 95% of our businesses are small to medium-sized businesses. And of that, aren't 70% less than 20 people?
Yep. And I think it's less than 5 million turnover or something too.
Which is an astounding figure, yeah. Right? Those are astounding figures. Those entrepreneurs, they worry just as much. They're under that much stress. They have that much impact on their mental health and uncertainty as a startup founder would. So yeah. Why not go for broke?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why just run your little thing when you could be doing something so much more impactful with the same amount of stress? You know, I know I'm making light.
No,
of
no,
it.
No. I love it.
It's not like it's easy. But what I'm saying is it's the same pain.
Yeah. Well, you think of all birds. I mean, they started off again. Sorry, I'm veering off tech. But, you know, they started out to be very small, but mm-hmm. then they had a $1 billion dream. Mm. And I think, again, if you don't have the big dream, you don't have the big ambition. And we talked about it off air before, you know, we talked about rediscovering ambition.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get that? How do we have the confidence to say, I want to be global?
Yeah.
I want to take this to the world.
Yeah.
As opposed to just feeling like that's actually a wrong thing to say.
Yeah. That's so true. And one of the things that I'm really curious about and that as a member of the Startup Council, we're all diving into is the New Zealand culture vis-a-vis high growth startups.
Yeah.
And whether there's something in our culture that also makes it harder for a New Zealander to be a high growth startup founder. And for my opinion, I believe there is. I mean, you can tell from my accent, I'm not from around here. I'm an American. I'm also Kiwi. Thank you for having me. I married a very good-looking Kiwi that I met in London one night, and hence I'm here in New Zealand. But the thing that's really interesting to me is that Americans really and truly are brought up to raise their hand and to bring attention to themselves and to be the absolute obvious best, right? I really do believe that. Obviously, this is such crazy generalization.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you ask a bunch of Americans, you know, do you know the answer to this? And there happens to be a room full of Kiwis and Americans in them, the Americans will say yes before the Kiwis will. The Kiwis will be much more humble. They'll be much more kind of laid back about it. They'll be thinking a little bit more. Whereas the Americans have absolutely no problem pushing themselves forward and figuring that they have the goods. They have the right answer. And I think that's part of our culture, which, you know, some people can take, some people can leave, but certainly it enables our ability to create the high growth startup ecosystem that we've had. So for New Zealand, I feel like New Zealanders really are married to being humble.
Yeah.
That's a huge part of your culture. And I flipping love it. It means that you don't have the mad egotists. You don't have all of the craziness that you might have in another country, mine, for example. But at the same time, what you also have is this discomfort with ambition and this discomfort with saying, I have a bold vision and I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah.
Because it almost sounds like you're big-headed. It almost sounds like you need to pull your head in.
Yeah.
It's a little embarrassing, you know, keep it low key. It's very anti, you know, New Zealand to behave that way.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, again, massive generalizations, but there's something in there, right? There is something in that mindset. And I think the thing that's going to counter that is more and more role modeling, where you can look at amazing Kiwi entrepreneurs who aren't horrible people.
Yep.
who have been incredibly successful, who are really humble. Yes, they are, but they're also extraordinarily ambitious and they make a great deal of money and a huge amount of impact on the world.
And they take other people with them on the journey.
100%.
And I noticed on your website, you know, you have the amount of jobs that have been created and things like that. And I think sometimes we forget that this is, in fact, a space for employment and growth.
That's right.
And supporting communities when these people succeed.
That's right. That's right. And I think that that one of the really unique things that I believe that New Zealand can bring to the world in terms of how we deal with startup is this idea of we are not interested in recreating Silicon Valley. We're not interested in a copycat of that culture and that level of ambition and that kind of winner takes all, destroy everything. Let me just get my jet and get out. You know, that's yep. not where we're coming from. We're much more around that sustainable impact, and we're much more around bringing others along, and we're much more about that positive piece that I feel that we all have as Kiwis in terms of our world vision.
That's awesome. Taking all that to account, what would you want to see more of in tech startups?
Well, for starters, I would really like to see more diversity. And I know that many of your listeners will probably roll their eyes at the word diversity because it's such a hot topic and perhaps people are just feeling sidelined or just don't want to hear that much more about it. But think about it. If we have 2,400 startup founders in New Zealand right now, and or sorry, 2,400 startups in New Zealand right now, and we need to get to 5,000, the fastest way would be to bring ourselves to parity on at least women founders, Māori and Pacific founders.
Yeah.
Straight away, we'd hit our straps.
Yeah.
At the moment, we only have around 21% of all startup ventures in New Zealand have at least one woman on them, which means that basically 4 out of 5 startup teams in New Zealand don't have any women present on the startup team, on the founder team. And so obviously if we bring more women founders into the beast, we make sure that we really ignite that ambition and build those networks, that we will get there that much faster. And the same thing holds true for Māori, for Pacifica, and for yep. those who are also not reflected in our startup founder team makeup. So I would like to see more diversity in the founder ecosystem. One other thing that I'd like to note is that there have been some incredible pieces of research done on women founders and their return on investment, which ends up being 10% higher for every dollar that's invested in them than with male founders. There's all sorts of potential reasons for that. You might, you know, go into things like the aversion potentially to risk and getting things perfect before they start to raise, the fact that women founders will generally hire more diverse teams and more diverse teams equal more success, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's one thing that we definitely want to see happening in the startup ecosystem in New Zealand. The other thing is that I would love to see more of a culture of that huge ambition. And I would love to have more of our general population aware of the opportunity of startup, not just to be a startup founder and what that means and how you might do it,
yep.
And why you might want to do it, but also for mom and pop investors leaning more into potential for investing in startups, potential in joining the local angel association,
yep.
and being excited and learning about what innovation is taking place all around them. Because from the southern tip of New Zealand all the way to the top, we have innovation around us everywhere and startup activity everywhere. And one of the hardest things for those early stage startup founders to do is to build that credibility, get those first customers, raise that first little bit of capital. And so I think if our population was more aware of startup
yep.
and the phenomenon that is startup and its ability to generally transform our entire country, we would probably have a much more successful startup ecosystem.
And the more that they can actually make a big difference to
Absolutely.
These startups by actually investing. And it might not be $1 gazillion. It might be 5,000 or
That's right.
10, or maybe it's some skill, maybe it's some knowledge that you have that you can kind of bring along with you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's just been very inspiring hearing this, because I just imagine someone sitting there and wanting to take that idea. And I guess the encouragement is just give it a go.
Yep. Just give it a go.
Get an idea out there. Is there anywhere people can go when they have got that initial idea just to trigger and spark, you know, to the next stage where you're starting to validate? Is there, you know, like you said, you don't necessarily want people coming in the night after they've had the idea in the shower. And I get that, because
yeah.
that could be, there's a lot of work to be done first. Is there things online that they can go through? Is there kind of, I don't know, it's terrible, a template or something that they could, that gets their thinking going?
Absolutely. There's resources out the wazoo on the net.
Right.
And I can point you at a couple of directions, but I think that There's nothing that is more useful to a potential startup founder than meeting their own peers in their own community. And so almost every, if you think about Christchurch, Auckland, Dunedin, Wellington, Invercargill, they will all have their own startup community.
Yeah.
I've only just named a few, and I've left like all the other major cities in New Zealand off the list, but there are startup communities everywhere. And you really probably need to just get in touch with your local economic development agency if you don't know where they are, and they can point you in the right direction. Because meeting that community of peers is your first place to start. You'll start to immediately fire off with other people who are in the same boat as you. You'll start meeting potential talent, potential partners. You'll start getting directions to potential funders, and so on. As far as resources are concerned, I'd like to shout out, if you don't mind, for the Electrify Aotearoa conference.
Yeah. Talk us through that.
Yeah, so Electrify Aotearoa is New Zealand's Women Founders Conference. And I talked earlier today about how important women founders will be to the future of New Zealand. And the conference takes place on the 1st of August. And the whole point of the conference is to provide an opportunity for women to hear from and meet their peers who are active and successful in the startup growth space. They'll hear from speakers, incredible speakers like Maru Niho Niho, who is the founder of a Media Interactive, which is a major gaming company. You may know how strong gaming is as a sector for New Zealand. We're going from strength to strength in that space. And Maru is an incredible founder from that perspective. They'll have the opportunity to hear from, for example, Laura Bell from SafeStack, who's one of the most preeminent cybersecurity founders in the world, from Oppo Bio, which is a brand new biotech company that has basically created the building stack for plant-based meat.
Yep.
Some incredible innovations, all of them women founders. There'll be around 500 other founders there alongside all of the major investors in the country, alongside all of the major community groups. And so if you are a woman, you've got entrepreneurial ambition, you're either already in the startup game or you're really excited about being in the startup game or want to meet others who are in the startup game, this is the place to be.
Cool.
So it's the 1st of August at Sky City, and NZX is one of our very awesome sponsors. So I would absolutely recommend that anybody who is interested in high growth startup comes along to that. You don't have to be a woman to go to Electrify Aotearoa. We are looking for allies as much as, you know, actual women startup founders, because it's a community that will pull each other up along the way. So that's Electrify. That's a conference that's coming up on the 1st of August.
And I guess it would give someone a teaser, right? So if they were kind of like, is this where I want to be? They could actually get along and actually just get a feel for what it's like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think network is everything. So it's about inspiration. It's about capability building. And then it's about building your network. So basically getting 500 other high growth startup founders, investors and community members on your wing. And that's what it's all about.
That's awesome, Erin. So would someone just Google that, or they just jump on the Ministry of Awesome website and it'll all be sitting in there and they can register?
Either way, if you can spell Aotearoa, you can probably Google it the easiest. It's Electrify Aotearoa. And I think the first result will be the conference, and just pop in there and grab yourself a ticket. And if you can't make it on the 1st of August, gift a ticket to someone who can. There's opportunity for that as well. And then as far as other startup resources are concerned, Ministry of Awesome has a pretty good resources section. And the one thing that you might be looking at is there's a blog piece on lean startup methodology, and there's an actual lean startup template that you can fill out and use as a guide for those first steps. And they really are an incredible template that certainly Ministry of Awesome did not invent it. This is lean startup methodology from Eric Blank and, you know, well before that. Or was it Eric Reese? I'm sure I've got the name wrong. And if you can't remember Ministry of Awesome, then just Google lean startup methodology and you'll find templates for Africa all across the web. There's also a bunch of courses that you might take if you're interested in actually being part of an accelerated course. So for example, Ministry of Awesome teaches two courses at Te Pukenga, which are hybrid as well. So they could be in person or online. One of them basically takes you from day one, which is the beginning of your idea, all the way through to building and going through that entire lean startup methodology. There's resources on another organization site called Creative HQ in Wellington. You might find resources at Ice House Ventures. So much.
So there's no reason not to actually get out of the shower, get online and actually, you know.
Get started. It just takes your time.
This is awesome. Now we're going to have some quick fire questions now.
Sure.
If you were to create a startup company, what sector would you want to be in?
That's such a good question.
I couldn't even answer that myself.
That's such a good question. I would say probably something in fintech using, obviously, AI and machine learning. Some sort of predictor for personal finance is something that I've been thinking about for a while, as have hundreds of millions of other people in the world. I think fintech is a space that is just so ripe for disruption, particularly with everything that's happening with artificial intelligence and machine learning and data sets. And there's just so much scope. And in New Zealand, it's not a space that is particularly well served. But there's all sorts of problems that need to be solved in fintech. And so therefore, I would say probably that would be awesome. The richest possible place to be.
And favorite book or podcast?
I'd say my favorite two books right now are, I would definitely give Ambition and Zed a rating.
I've written
and that's down. Julie Fry, and that's basically how New Zealanders approach ambition. That's really well worth it. It's quite a thin little book too.
Nice.
So you can get through it, you know, in a couple weekends, depending on how fast a reader you are. And then the other book that I'm going to get totally made fun of for it because it's old hat and people are a little bit over it, but I still think it's amazing, is Radical Candor. And that's essentially about being authentic and candid and running your business with total transparency and clarity. Yeah. And then podcast, my favorite podcast is Prof G. So Scott Galloway, I think he's pretty incredible. He does an amazing podcast on tech that is well worth listening to.
So, person who's inspired you the most in your career?
This may sound a bit ridiculous, but because she's not a business person, and it may also sound political, and I don't mean it to, but I think from the perspective of being a woman leader, I would say Jacinda Ardern.
Yep.
In terms of the authenticity and the original attitude, the lack of deflection, and what seems like a high level of integrity, I think she's been has had an incredible impact on me. Normally, when you see senior executives or senior leaders, there's a lot of defend and deflect, and it never felt that way to me. I think that the way that she led our country through was quite awe-inspiring. I think that the way that she handled motherhood was quite incredible.
Awesome. Thank you. And what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
I can't remember one sole person who has given me that piece of advice, but it's something that I've learned to be true over the years of my career, and that is to be absolutely authentic. If you're authentic, then you don't have to constantly self-correct or try to remember what persona you're supposed to be or what the story is you're telling today. Being completely authentic and true to yourself is how you're going to, you know, lean into your skills and your talent and your ability that make you uniquely successful.
Oh, look, Marianne, thank you so much for coming on with us today. We're very grateful. All the best for Electrify Aotearoa conference on the 1st of August.
Thank you.
Make sure that people check that out. And I look forward to watching the progress of the Ministry of Awesome and their startups.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this interview today.
The information provided in this podcast is a guide and is intended for general information purposes only. The information is not investment advice. The information should not be relied upon as a substitute for detailed advice from a professional advisor. The podcast may contain opinions or forward-looking statements, and actual results may vary from what is expressed in this podcast. The views expressed in this podcast are those of the presenter or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of NZX. NZX Limited is not liable for any loss suffered through relying on the information in this podcast. NZX makes no warranties as to the accuracy or completeness of the information in this podcast. All intellectual property rights in the content of this podcast are owned or used under license by NZX, and NZX's written consent is required to use, redistribute, or reproduce the content, or use it to create other works.